you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. We've already had people accept Christ as their Savior this week. We've had people saved. Had some people saved today that are coming, getting baptized on Sunday, and just some great things that are happening. So we started a week or so ago on combating the lies that we have either been taught as a child or maybe in universities or schools, because lies are what paralyzes us and keeps us from making progress. Years ago, we had a pianist at our church. He was a new convert. They just called him the Snake Man. And I don't know why they called him that. He lived in Vallejo, owned 99 snakes. So I have no idea why they called him the Snake Man. And he had black mambas and cobras and pythons and rattlesnakes. And I mean, it was just unusual. He'd bring his 12-foot python out to the park in Vallejo to let it get some sun. And when he laid it out, mothers would grab their children and run screaming. And so that was our pianist. And he had just cut his ponytail before he started playing piano, and I got here. And he told me one Sunday, he asked me, he said, "Pastor, would you pray for my uncle?" And I said, "Well, what's going on? Does he have a problem? Is he sick or what?" He said, "He's been dead for 6 months." I said, "Okay. So what do you want me to do?" He said, "I want you to pray he goes to heaven." I said, "Brother, we need to have a talk, you know, because once you die, it's heaven or hell. There's no praying someone into heaven at that time." And so there he is. He had heard a lie that someone could pray someone into heaven. So that's why it's so important we know the truth and we know why we believe what we believe, not just because we heard someone say it. So tonight's topic, and it's not, you know, when I announce it, some of you are going to say, "Well, that has nothing to do with me," but it has a lot to do with our belief. And so tonight we're going to talk about what the Bible says about responsibility and capital punishment. What does the Bible say about responsibility? We live in a day when people can do anything they want to and they can blame somebody else. They can blame their race. They can blame their education. They can blame their mother. They can blame their father. They can blame society. They can blame they just didn't feel good. It's interesting. You call someone nuts and you get sued. But then they do something nutty, and all of a sudden they admit, "I'm incapable of standing trial because I've..." And a lot of people do have mental illness. And that's not what I'm talking about, but someone who's never had it, then they do something crazy, and all of a sudden, well, it's because I'm insane. And then they're off the hook. You know, there's something about responsibility. So notice here, we're in Romans chapter 13. We're going to look at verses. Most of them are closely associated, but I think it's going to help us tonight. So notice Romans 13, and God here sets up the government as an authority. He gives them certain guidelines. We'll have a whole other study on what was the responsibility of the government. The Bible did not give them all the rights that they have today to take most of your paycheck and so forth. We'll get into that some other time. But notice what it says in Romans chapter 13, and looking down into verse number 1. And it says here, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Now, that does not mean the higher power is always smarter than you or wiser. It just means God has set up some powers. We would call them authorities. He has set up, of course, the Bible. He has set up the local church. He has set up the parents. He has set up as an authority the husband and several others. And one of them is the government. So God has set them up, and notice the power he gives them. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." In other words, God sets it up. "The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That word means judgment. For rulers, now stop for a moment, this would apply if you're the leader. So maybe you're the king, you're the president, maybe you're a congressman, maybe you're the parent, maybe you're the boss, maybe you're the coach of the team. So see all the different leaderships there. So if you're ever in leadership position, this is your responsibility. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. So you ever wonder why fire trucks don't patrol the neighborhoods? You know, we never see fire trucks. Hey, what are you doing here? We're just patrolling. Let people know we're around. They don't patrol. Ambulances don't patrol the neighborhood. Police cars patrol the neighborhood. What are they doing? They're just letting their presence be known. In case you're thinking of doing something evil, we are here. And how many times, you drivers, and I know no one speeds in our church, not one time, probably thousands of times. But how many times have you seen a police officer and immediately you let off the gas? It's just a reflex. I was driving one time and I was about to pass a police officer. My dad said, "Don't pass the police officer." I said, "Dad, I'm not speeding." He says, "Get behind him." This is my dad's olden days, I guess. Verse 3, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So there's two responsibilities in leadership. That's one is to punish the evildoers and to praise the do-gooders. So anytime you just do one, it frustrates people. All you ever do is catch me when I do bad. Yeah, you're in trouble again. You're in trouble again. Here's your speeding ticket. Here's this and here's more taxes. But in leadership, you're also supposed to recognize and reward good. Brother Hansen, if I was the police chief, here's what I'd do. I'd have all the police officers pull over 10 people every day and just say, "We're checking your record. Look, you've never had a DUI. Here's $100. Thanks. Thank you. Take your family out to eat. God bless you." Now, that's what's supposed to happen. There's supposed to be reward for those that are doing good. Pull someone over. "Hey, you've never been to jail. Here's $1,000. God bless you. You saved us so much money. Good job. Hope we never see you there." So it's supposed to be like that. Wouldn't it be nice if IRS gave you like a $50,000 check? "Thanks for paying your taxes on time the last 10 years. You know, some of us have probably had bosses where all they ever did, "Hey, you were a minute late yesterday," but they never reward you for like 3 years, never calling in sick. Always there, overtime, doing extra. And so it's a part of it. So anytime you lead, that's your responsibility. Like it or not, you've got to punish those that do evil. Now, you're deciding what that is and how much the punishment, how far it goes. And, you know, here's a kid. They're not supposed to drink Coca-Cola during football season, and one of them does. So you've got to decide, now, what's the penalty for that? How far do you go? Do you kick him off the team for one soda? I mean, does he run an extra? So the leader has to figure that out. So notice, that's a part of the government. This is a part of it. Now, skip back, if you will, for a moment, and we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. This is a very key verse. It's right after Psalms and then Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then it won't be hard to find after that. Ecclesiastes 8, and here's what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 8. And this is such a key verse as well. here it is. And all this goes into this thing of personal responsibility and capital punishment. And we're going to get going. Here we go. Ecclesiastes 8. Brother Marty, can you turn the heat off, please, right there next to you? I think it's two units might be on. Thank you. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Notice here it is. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Now, what's that mean? Well, for a parent, here's what that means. If you have young children, they disobey. You know, they pull their sister's hair. They spit in the food. They knock the chairs over, throw their food on the ground. I'm not eating this junk. Or whatever they do. It cannot be a long sentence. It can't be, go to your room. You know, by next Thursday, we're going to talk about this. It's got to be dealt with quickly. Or they don't see the connection. When a little child misbehaves, you got to take care of business right away, because if you wait 3 hours till dad gets home, they don't connect what they did 3 hours before with what's happening now. So same thing in crime. When a nation has someone commit an evil crime and it takes 20 years before that person goes to court, he pretty much got away with it. And so the Bible says quickly. It's got to be handled quickly. He said when that doesn't happen, then they feel like, well, there's no payment to this. Now, we're not talking about vigilantes who a lot of people just get real fired up and get upset. And you know, the crime's one day and the execution's the next. And we'll talk about that. But notice that right there. And that's where our nation is off, way off right now. You commit a major crime, it may be 10 years before you ever go to court. Then they find you guilty and they find out, oh, the police officer, he missed one word in giving you your rights. And he had an off day. Oh, his car wasn't registered when he arrested you. So you're out. So after a while, criminals just have it figured out. Nothing's going to happen. There was a lady on the news this past week. She was shoplifting. She said, nothing's going to happen. She was just loading up her cart and walked out of the store. Nothing's going to happen. When nothing happens in a nation is soft on crime, it just increases more and more and more. And that's why you have just every day, all you have to do is just read the newspaper. You know, a mob of teens goes into a mall, tears up the whole mall and stabs and kills a girl, and they're out and nothing happens. Nothing happens. Oh, they're underage, so we can't charge them, all right? Just give them a little counseling. So let's talk about responsibility for just a moment, okay? Let's look over here in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter number 21. Exodus 21. This is very important here because we live in a day where it's so easy to give excuses. Here it is, No Excuse Sunday coming up. Exodus chapter 21. Well, you know, I had a headache. Well, I didn't feel good. Well, it was, you know, they were picking on me. Well, they've always had it out for me. It's just, you know, we've got all these excuses. So here it is, Exodus 21. Notice down in verse number 33. And some of these will tie together. So here it is, Exodus 21, 33. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit, so some guy digs a hole in the ground and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, give money to the owner of them. So you dig a hole in the ground, you don't guard the hole, someone's tractor or their ox or their ass, a donkey, their vehicle of work and making money falls in, kills it, you got to pay for it. Why? You dug the hole. It's your responsibility to make sure things are safe. And that's why we have job sites and there's rules of safety. Someone gets injured because of negligence. That's a negligent thing right there. So he couldn't just say, well, he shouldn't have let his animals around the hole. No. You're supposed to guard that. You dug a hole that was unsafe, so you are responsible. And so notice how smart God is to have these laws. Then if you'll look in 22:1, please. And so they're animals right there. First blank is animals. You call someone to lose one of their animals, or you could say vehicles. You got to pay for it. And then here it is, Exodus 22, verse 1. Notice what he says. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Verse number 5. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, that means he brings his cattle or his sheep in there and eats some guy's grain, and shall put in his beast and shall feed in another man's field, the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. So if you want to fill in the next blank, it's called stealing. It's called stealing. He says, if someone goes to your property and he takes one of your oxen, one of your cow, and he's caught. I mean, definitely, he's stealing. Guess what? He doesn't just put it back. He pays 4. He pays 4-fold. Now, you took it, so it's going to cost you. It's going to sting, so you don't steal anymore. So you stole one, you got to put 4 back. And in the Old Testament times, if you didn't have any money, they sold you. You were kind of an indentured slave or a worker, and you had to work off the bill. So you can't just say, well, I ain't got any money. Well, that's okay. You got plenty of time. So come on over 8 hours a day, and you're going to work, and we'll subtract it because you'll pay for this. It's called personal responsibility. So let's keep going here. Let's look a little further. So animals, stealing. Then look at this one, 22:2. Most of these are in Exodus 22:2. And it says, if a thief... And you could write down the word burglar. Burglar. If a thief be found breaking up, that means he's breaking into your house. He's breaking the window. He's breaking a door. He's coming in. Let me just say this. Anytime a burglar breaks in your house, you have to assume the worst. He's there to kill everyone in your family. He's not there to take. Yeah, he's there to take a life, take your stuff. You have to assume the worst. 22:2, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, that happened 3 times this week on the news. So the thief comes in and someone takes him out. Here's what it says. There shall no blood be shed for him. Amen. He broke in. He took his life into his own hands. The homeowner took him out. Let him meet his maker. God says there's no blood shed for killing that guy. He shouldn't have broken into the house. That's God's law right there. Personal responsibility. Well, the homeowner shouldn't have killed me. Well, you shouldn't have been in someone's house that wasn't yours. And so there it is. So and then verse 3 says the same thing. He said, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. He's saying if he gets caught red-handed and he's not taken out, for he shall make full restitution. And if he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Interesting, huh? I bet that curbed crime, didn't it? You think so? Where's so-and-so? Well, they had to sell him. He's working off his debt. He burglarized somebody's house. Then look at this one in verse number 6. Here's one. And you could put here, the word is destruction. So if it says, if fire break out, and catch in thorns so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindleth the fire shall surely make restitution. So let's say you're burning your trash, you're out in your yard, and you're just burning it because you don't want to pay for the garbage fee, and somehow you go inside and you're having a Starbucks and prop your feet up, take a nap. Pretty soon the wind blows and that fire catches your neighbor's house on fire. You got to pay for the house. You say, well, the wind, no, it was you. You lit the fire. So you got to make restitution. So a court case doesn't come out the way you like it. So you throw a fit and you start burning cars and flipping over police cars and setting buildings on fire. They just need to take a little ad machine, add up all the damage, and you got to pay for it. Doesn't matter if you were mad. Doesn't matter if a group of your friends did it. You owe that. It's called restitution. You got to pay for it. Got to pay for it. Well, that doesn't sound nice. P people have gotten away with a lot of things. And if they had to pay for it, they'd behave a whole lot better. So let's look at this. These are Old Testament laws. Then look at this one, chapter 22 in verse 16. And this word is immorality. Immorality. So here it is. It says in 22:16, and if a man entice a maid, that means a woman that's not married, that is not betrothed, and lie with her, talking about being immoral, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. God says, okay, so you slept with this young woman. Okay, she's yours now. You got to marry her. What? Well, you know, I really didn't want to marry her. You got to marry her. Or, look down at verse 17, if the father utterly refused to give her unto him, he says, no, I don't want him related to me, he shall pay money according to the dowry of the virgins. So if he's immoral with this young woman and the family says, we don't want him in our family, he's still got to pay the same price he would have paid to have her as his wife. So there again is that personal responsibility. There's responsibility even with being immoral. Because God wanted his nation where people were not immoral, but where they made a commitment and got married. And so there it is again. So the word is immorality. Then here's another one. Let's flip over to Deuteronomy for just a moment. Deuteronomy and three books over, chapter number 19. Deuteronomy chapter number 19. And these laws, you know, as you read them, it's kind of like, wow, this isn't really exciting, but it sure makes a lot of sense in our law books. So important. When you take someone that is responsible, that is someone that's mature. All right, got an F on the test because I didn't study. It's no one's fault, not the teacher, not the material. It's me. I didn't study. I got lazy. All right, give it to me. That's a responsible person right there. Okay, moving right along. I know you're not going to shout and everything, but some of you say, oh, Pastor, I'm glad they didn't have these laws when I wasn't right. But look down in Deuteronomy 19 and look down, please, in verse number 15. 15, look at this one. Deuteronomy 19, 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. What's that mean? One witness is not enough to have a man put to the electric chair. One person should not be enough to ruin someone's whole reputation. You know, they may have just got mad. So what's he say about this? They brought the person in, verse 15, but at the mouth of two or three witnesses, that means eyewitnesses, shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him of that which is wrong, then they end up coming to the judges. But notice what it says, verse 19. Then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. What's he saying? If someone was found to be lying about somebody, whatever the penalty was that would happen to them if they found out they were lying, that happens to the liar. So if this person was going to get the death penalty because of a lie someone told, they found out they had lied about it, they get the death penalty. So that way, someone can't just have an issue with someone, spread all these lies, and they're unsubstantiated. They had to pay. So the Old Testament was pretty strict. It was pretty strict on these things. And then let's look at just a couple more. Next, slander. And it says much of the same. You can look at that reference later. And then the other one there is immorality. We've already seen another thing right there. Now, look here. We're in Deuteronomy. Flip back to chapter 19 and verse 4, please. Chapter 19 and verse number 4. Here we are. Hang with me just a little bit. I know it's like, oh, I deserve the electric chair, Pastor. Okay, so here we are. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 4. So let's say there was something that was an accident. Here it is, 19:4. And it says, and this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee thither that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke and the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee into one of those cities and live, lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot. So what's he saying here? This is talking about vigilantes. A vigilante, if that word's not familiar with you, that means someone gets hurt or someone dies and someone is so upset they want to revenge immediately upon that person without a trial. Now, they do that in India. We're with a missionary. He said, if you ever accidentally, and people are always crossing the street, if you ever accidentally get in an accident and someone's hurt, if you get out of the car to check on them, you may never live. Because all the neighbors are out and they're upset and they're angry. And then pretty soon there's a lynching. There's countries like that all the time. So the city of refuge, there were several of them God set up in Israel. So, man, you're chopping down a tree and the axe head flies off, and next thing you know, one of your neighbors is dead. It hit him accidentally. You are running to that city as fast as you can. How come? They'll open the gates, close them, and they'll stop the vigilantes. They'll say, we're going to hear the story, and there'll be a trial. If he's guilty, we're going to release him to you, but if not, you can't touch him. And so, you say, well, Pastor, the government doesn't handle things. I'm going to take the law into my own hands. That's not biblical. It's not biblical. You'll be in jail paying for it, and some people do. I still remember the guy on the New York subway. He had been mugged and mugged and robbed and robbed and robbed. Next thing you know, three guys surround him and give us your money. He killed them all. Went to trial, the vigilante. I mean, it's a famous trial and so forth. Many of you read about it and probably cheered him on. Who knows? Anyway. Here's the scripture here. The Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction, there's the blank, shall drive it far from him. So what's that got to do with people? Okay, here's what it is. There was responsibility for crimes in the Bible days, but they didn't all get the death penalty. You know, it wasn't like, oh, you set my field on fire. All right, hang him. You know, it wasn't like that. But what did they do? Stop for a moment. What did they do? Public drunk. I mean, you were drunk and got caught drunk publicly. What did they do? Did they put them in prison? You don't see that. The Romans had prisons, but it didn't seem like the Jews had a lot of prisons. Here's what they did, and you'll love this. You'll love this. Look over, if you would, please, for a moment, in chapter 25 of Deuteronomy. And if you're listening online, wake up, wake up. I know you're already asleep, but here we are. Deuteronomy 25, verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3. Here it is. Look at this. God is smart. Here we go. Deuteronomy 25, verse 2 and 3. Here it is. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten. Now, the Bible uses that word in the Old Testament. It doesn't mean beaten like an animal, beaten out of control. He talks about beating or spanking a child. He says, if the man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed. What's he saying? Here's what they did. Here's what they did. Someone broke the law, but it was not death penalty. What did they do? Lay down. Guilty. Public drunkenness. Beating your wife or whatever he was doing wrong. Lay down. How many strokes? 15. Here we go. They'd publicly spank that guy. He would get a spanking. Publicly. Now don't do it again. What they did. They didn't build new prisons. They didn't fill the city with prisons. It was a public spanking. We don't, your child disobeys, you don't send them to San Quentin. Some of you say, I wish I could. But that doesn't change their behavior. Pain associated with misbehavior changes things. And that's what they did. I'm just telling you, that's what they did in Israel to curb the crime. Man, I'd rather go to jail than get a public beating. I don't know. You get a beating and it's over. Then you go back to work and you go back home. And you say, well, sure would be humiliating. I bet everybody in town got one. Wasn't just saying, okay, this isn't going over very good. Well, the pastors were beating people. No, I'm saying 2,000 years ago they did. They could take it. Now, here it is. Here's the blank, and we have to hurry. Long prison sentences do not work. They do not work. Well, here's a guy, he's a mass murderer. Give him 50 years, and that'll change him. No, you've just locked him up with people just as rebellious as him. He's going to come out, but more street smart. He ain't going to be changed. That's why timeout never works. If you were raised that way and your parents said, like a referee, timeout, go to your room, no supper, and close the door and turn the lights off, all you did was get mad. Why? Because now you're excluded. God never does that with us. When we disobey our Heavenly Father, He spanks us, and then the spanking ends, and He never brings it up again. That's what these things were about. Little kid was put in a closet. His parents didn't know how to raise kids, and so they put him in the closet. Finally, he was real quiet, and they opened the closet, and they said, what are you doing? He said, waiting on more spit. He spit over all their clothes. Here it is. You know, I like this statistic. In California, and this is I've heard since we typed this, it's gone up. $106,000 a year to house one prisoner in California. $2,000 a week to house one prisoner. That's dental, that's insurance, that's guards, that's air conditioning, that's college education, that's probably paper so they can write their life story and make millions of dollars. That's the workout gym. Who knows what all that is? $106,000. $2,000 a week. That's a lot of groceries. That's a lot of peanut butter jelly sandwiches. That's 5% of most states' budgets just to house the prison population. One out of four goes back to prison within a year. So it doesn't change them. The well program in a prison would change them. The Bible, preaching services, that would change them. But what the government's doing is just not working. You lock people up and then let them out, and now they're changed. No, they're not changed. Only the Lord can do that. Only He can do that. So here we are. Quickly. So in the Bible days, what did they do the death penalty for? What was so bad, God says, that's it. That's the end of your life. I want to give you these. And today, I know we have several forms. There's the firing squad. There's a lethal injection. There's the gas chamber. There's electrocution, the electric chair. There's the hangings. And some countries, it's the beheadings. But notice what they did in Israel. In Exodus chapter 21, let's look at this just quickly. I'll give you these, and we'll go from there. You say, Pastor, it sure is cruel. It sure is cruel when, man, it's just, you know, what about that thou shalt not kill? Well, that murderer should have read that one. He should have read that one. If we got down to this, public executions, it would curb crime. Yes, it would. Amen. If they took the violent crimes, and the person was hung on nationwide television, or electrocuted, or lethally injected, imagine some people would watch that and say, I ain't ever doing that. See, they never hear about it. In Israel, it was public. It was public. Imagine the simple-minded kind of learn from that. So what were these crimes? Let's give them to you quickly, and it just shows why our nation is not doing very well. Exodus chapter 21. And looking down into verse number 12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. That's talking about premeditated murder. So in the blank there is murder. And then here's one, 21:15. Look at this one. We don't practice this one here in America, but they did in Israel. 21:15. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. 17. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Okay, let's find out. How many of you would be dead already? Come on now. Let's just, how many, I'd be dead. Said something under your breath. What'd you say? Nothing. Cursed mom or dad. In Israel, they took them out. 21:16. Look at this one. Next. 21:16. He that stealeth a man and selleth him. Talking about ransom. Ransom or slavery. If he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. Kidnapping. Someone grabs someone off the street, throws them in their car, abducts them. Death penalty. Death penalty. That's what they did in the Bible days. Here's another one. 21:29. And this is manslaughter. 21:29. He's talking about a man that has an ox. It says, but if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it has been testified to his owner, you know, your ox is trying to kill people with his horns, he's wild, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. So people who have dangerous pets, people who had these oxen or these animals, these big animals, if they had a habit of endangering people and they did nothing to stop it, they were held accountable. Right, amen. Interesting, huh? Amen. So here we go. Next, 22:2. You can just fill this one in. We already looked at this. Burglary. And then you can look up that other one later on. Deuteronomy 17. Let's look at these last ones just real quick. Deuteronomy 17. Thanks for hanging with us. And don't go out and buy an electric chair either, okay? And tell your neighbor, hey, stop shooting the grass on our side of the... Don't do that. But Deuteronomy 17, and looking down into verse number 3, responsibility. And it's talking about idols. It says, verse 3, and hath gone and served other gods and worshiped them. And he goes all the way through there. Verse number 5 says, stone them with stones till they die. In Israel, if someone was trying to get others to worship false gods, that was the death penalty. That was it. Number next, two more. Look in 22:22, Deuteronomy 22. In verse number 22, here we are. We're almost there. Hang in with us. Thanks. 22:22. And what's it say? 22:22, Deuteronomy. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, she's married, then they shall both of them die. So adultery also was death penalty. And then here's one more, 22:25. Look at this one. 22:25. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her, that's Bible term for rape, and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. It was punished by death. It'd be a lot of dead people in our country, wouldn't it? But I guarantee you, if there was capital punishment, and it was publicized, there'd be a lot of people saying, I'm not doing that one. I'm not doing that one. Not going to do it. I'm not breaking anybody's house. I'm not going to take anybody. I'm not going to be immoral. Definitely not going to force someone. I'm not going to do it. But when crime is soft and you can get away with these things, sentence is not executed speedily. Men's heart is set on evil. And then we'll just give you this last one. You don't need to turn to it, but Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. It was Achan. And Joshua told the Israelites, he said, we're going to do battle. We're going to go into Jericho. Don't take the gold or silver for you. We're going to pile it up, give it to God. It'll go in the temple. Don't take the gold, silver, or anything. Achan did. And it said he put it in his tent. So guess who saw it? You know, the whole family lived in the tent. His wife saw him bring it in. His children saw him bring it in. I don't know how old they were. Maybe they were grown. So the next battle, 36 men died because it was hidden sin. God says there's sin in the camp. Joshua focused on him. He said, did you do this? He said, I did. He said, where's the gold and silver? He said, it's hidden in my tent. He didn't just let him confess and be some famous TV star. You know how some people confess to crimes they didn't do. And so Joshua said, go check out his tent. They said, here it is. Here's the stuff he took. He had Achan, Mrs. Achan, the little girl Achans, the little boy Achans, his entire family stoned. And you may say, boy, that's rough. Joshua said, you have troubled Israel. You caused 36 men not to come home from war. And you guys saw him and didn't say anything and didn't do anything and didn't say, put that back. So you're an accomplice too. Then you don't read about that happening anymore. So what's that mean for us? Well, publicly, for the nation of Israel, it was saying, we don't put up with this. We don't put up with this. So what do we take from this for us? If we're the leader, let's make sure that we're catching people do something that's good. Rewarding. Bragging on them. Great job. Hey. Not just catching them when they do something wrong. And I know you'll feel better, and they will too. Then let's pray for our country. Amen. We want police chiefs that are hard on crime. We want DAs who are hard on crime. I cannot imagine being a police officer, can you? In our day and time, you have to do so much. You have to make sure your tie is just right before you swear someone in, and your boots are polished, and you have to use the right pronouns and non-pronouns, and so you don't hurt their right. And one little loophole, finally, all the paperwork, you finally get someone arrested, maybe that's doing some hideous crime, and then in 5 minutes, because of some technicality, they're out on the street. Now they're on the same street, peddling the same drugs that just got snuck over our border, that's killing people. I can't imagine being in law enforcement. How discouraging that must be. And you've worked hard. You've put your life in danger of knuckleheads that want to take you out. And then some judge, look, probably had a tough upbringing. You're out. Rap sheets a mile long, and they never serve time. Long time. I remember when my dad got arrested. He was scared to death. Scared to death. I remember seeing that ankle bracelet on his. I said, Dad, what's that mean? He said, I'm on house arrest. I can't leave the house. Back then, there was no internet. I remember him looking through our Encyclopedia Britannica. He was looking up the word S, San Quentin. Because he knew he was going to San Quentin. He thought he was going to go to the island over there. What do you call it? Yeah, Alcatraz, but it had been shut down. It's like, shoo. He was scared to death because he knew crime didn't pay, and he was going to have to pay for it. He'd probably got away with it today. Just a different day. Our nation is reaping. People want rights with no responsibilities. I want my rights. I deserve. You want people that say, no, I'm going to take responsibility for what I do, what I say, where I go. I want to be a responsible person. God will bless us for that.